Take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 2. It is still a Christmas-type message, but I believe that really we give titles to messages sometimes that are just weird in the church. To the youth, I know normally you're over across the street on Wednesday night, and I'm not apologizing for asking you to come over. I don't normally do that. I just feel like this message is for somebody. Well, matter of fact, I know it's for everybody. I know it's for everybody in the church. But I just, I knew that God, and I didn't. So if you're going to, I hope you're not aggravated, but if you are, be aggravated at me. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. Take your Bibles and go there if you would. And I'm going to preach a main thing tonight. While we're preaching, we'll just figure out what the title is in it. Are y'all ready? Can we have a little bit of fun while we're about to get to the meat of the message? Just drive around in the Word a little bit, because I want to do that. I can, because I'm going to preach. Luke chapter 2, verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son. Are y'all seeing that? Okay, good. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. God came to earth to save the earth, and there was no room for him. There's no room for him. Ain't that amazing? God came down here, and we had all kinds of people and all kinds of stuff in an inn, a hotel, a place to rent a room, and guess what? No room for God. I know, as I've watched TV in the past, I've watched this show called Undercover Boss. And I started thinking about kind of how God is. He showed up in a way that he was kind of undercover. And God shows up like that in our lives too, kind of undercover. Before I get into the whole message there about the end and whatnot, I thought, as every year I preach a lot of this information, and I preach it at Christmas and not at Christmas. I preach it whenever God tells me to preach it. And I thought, Jesus didn't want to be married. He didn't want to be born in the end. He didn't. I know that. I know when I preach this tonight, I know without a shadow of a doubt, God wanted to make himself accessible to everybody. The reason he was born in the manger is because God said, I'm going to be accessible to the poorest person and the richest person. The person that has a home and the people that don't have a home, they can all come to me. And guess what? That same invitation is there today. God's not somebody who says, well, I like the rich and I don't like the poor, or I like the poor and I don't like the rich. God, he loves everybody. His desire is all would come to salvation. That's his will. Not his will like, I'm going to make you come, because he could. He could make every one of us, he could bend us and break us until we say, okay, God, I submit. You got me, God, but you know what? We'd be like robots then. God, do I praise you now? God, do I read now? God, do I go to church now? That's not a love affair. That's not a love relationship. I said love affair, and some of y'all went, I have to tell you this, I'm in a love affair with God. I don't care what you say. I'm pursuing him. Amen? Amen? In the Song of Solomon, she got up in the morning and she said, where is the lover of my soul? He had left, and she woke up and she was like, he's missing. This is what's supposed to be in the message. But she got up and she said, the lover of my soul is not here. She got up and went through the streets and through the towns, and every person she met, have you seen the lover of my soul? When God's missing, do you ever know? Do you ever notice when God's missing? Boy, we could just have altar call now, couldn't we? There's been times when I don't feel God, but I don't go running for him either. Amen? I keep on plowing along, keep trying, instead of saying, hey, have you seen God? Or have you seen the lover of my soul? I miss him. Hey, Kyle, just go ahead and turn this down, all the way down, this record. I started thinking about that. And I know a little bit about the Bible. I read it a little bit on these scriptures. I know that he didn't want to be birthed in the inn. I know that. But it's still pretty neat. It's still pretty neat. You know what I like about it? It's a birthday party. Amen? I was thinking about all the people that got invited to the party. You have a birthday party, you always want to invite somebody? I mean, I do, right? So the first people that were invited, I don't know if they were the first, but I'm just going to say they were the shepherds. You know how they got their invitation? Does anybody know how they got there? The angels. That's pretty neat, ain't it? Is that awesome? Somebody say it's awesome. All right, good. Y'all are alive. Thank God. All right. Guess what? It is awesome. They got an angelic message for the birthday party. How many of y'all would like to send out messages through angels to your birthday? Everybody like, man, did you go to the party that what's her name? And hers got announced by the angels. Oh, y'all are so cool. Y'all are so cool. Ain't no big deal. Shepherds got announced by the angels. And I sat there and I thought about it all day. I'm like, that's awesome. And they came, right? And guess what? Some wise men, they came to the party, didn't they? Now they came a little late, but they came to the party. Right? But guess how they came? They got an invitation from God through a star. I don't know, I did this a couple of days ago. Do you know the closest star our earth is? The sun. It is. I looked it up on Wikipedia. You know how long it takes for light to get from the sun to the earth? 8 minutes. It's pretty good, right? The next star is Proxima Uma, something like that. Don't hold me to that last part because it's Latin and I'm not into that. It's 400 light years away. It takes 400 years for light to get from that star, which is the next closest star, to our planet. So the light we're seeing from that star shined 400 years ago, and we're seeing that light now. And I kind of wonder, I'm a geek in this kind of way, and I'm thinking, I wonder if when Isaiah spoke the words that God gave him and he said, unto you a child is born, I wonder if a star came and said, shine. And like 800 to 900 to 1,000 years started shining into Bethlehem. Or maybe if we go all the way back to Genesis, I know y'all don't kind of like this kind of stuff, but I'm going to preach anyway because I feel kind of squirrely about it. But maybe when he started speaking of messianic prophecies, when it came to Adam and Eve sinning and him crushing Satan, I wondered if the light started shining then. Some of y'all are like, I don't know. Well, I don't know either, but it's still fun, ain't it? It's still cool. And you're sitting here going right here in your mind, you're going, why is he talking about? Is it not cool that two groups of people who showed up to the party, one got announced and brought to them by angels, and one of them had a spotlight from the heavens, from the universe, a star. Is that cool? How did Mary and Joseph get there? Yeah, donkey. Why didn't they get a special invitation? Matter of fact, they were going up there to get signed up for the census where they could pay for their taxes. Not awesome. Amen? Not awesome. And I started thinking about it. And you know why? Guess what? Those wise men, they didn't know Jesus. So they needed a big sign and a big wonder. Guess what? The shepherds didn't know him either. They needed a big sign and a big wonder. So you're sitting here, sometimes you're thinking, man, I wish I could be a big sign or a big wonder. You know what? Sometimes you don't need a big sign, you don't need a big wonder, you just need Jesus. Because Mary, I'm preaching, y'all don't like a big sign, I'm preaching. Guess what? Mary didn't need a big sign. She had the biggest sign that's ever been given on the inside. His name's Jesus. You don't have to show me a wonder. God, the wonder's inside of me. The wonder leads, guides, and directs me. And I started thinking about it. Man, how awesome was it? Joseph's getting ready and packing stuff. And Mary, where are you going, Joe? I shortened his name. I'm going up to Bethlehem. We got to sign up for the census. The Roman Empire, they're going to get their taxes. And we have to do it. And she gets up and she starts packing her stuff. Matter of fact, being honest, I hate to say it like this. I hate to be this brutally honest. She probably got up and started packing his stuff and her stuff. You can say, man, every once in a while it wouldn't hurt nothing. Just saying. That's how we roll at my house. I pack and then she repacks. You missed everything. All right, let's go on. But guess what? Here it is. She starts packing and Joseph's like, hey, what are you doing? You're 9 months pregnant. You can have this child at any time. Oh, I know. But there's something on the inside of me that just says, you're pregnant. Got it. It's a long trip, 300 miles. We only got a donkey. You could get sick. You could die. There could be all kinds of situations, medical situations. I don't think this is the right thing to do. I feel like God would have me go. Yeah, I'm preaching. Y'all don't even just know it. Sometimes when you got a Jesus thing on board, when you got the Holy Ghost of God inside of you, it outweighs all the common sense things you should do. Man, are y'all not an amen? Man, I thought Wednesday night this place would be raucous. I thought y'all would be out of control. I'm serious. I thought you'd been trapped in your houses for 2 or 3 days and you open it, you'd be like, man, we're going to church and we're going to get a word. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stop. And I'm on with it. But you see what I'm telling you? Man, she said, sometimes when you have the Holy Spirit of God, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm not smart enough, this might not work out, it's a cost of everything, oh, it's a cost of our job, and guess what? But there's something on the other side of the scale. It's just Jesus. And it don't make sense. And it don't make money sense, and it don't make time sense, and it don't make... Everybody will say, you're crazy, your family. Oh my gosh, your family. Please, whatever you're... Don't do that. Golly, I don't even know if I want to... Go to college. Get a skill. Do something. Don't become a preacher. Don't become a missionary. Oh my God, don't just sell out to God. How in the world could God take care of you? I don't know, maybe because He's God. We push everybody into everything, and we freak out when people say stuff like, God is here. Well, I just... And yet we say we believe in God. And God's in control. He's omnipowerful. He's ever-present. Yet, we probably don't need to rock the boat too much. I don't even know if y'all could even see this. Mary's anywhere from 14 to 16 year old on the back of a donkey riding to Bethlehem about to burst with a baby. Joseph, oh my gosh. I don't know about you, but every time I read the Bible and I look at Joseph, I think, what a man of God. What a man of God. Stepdad to Jesus. I don't know if y'all could even handle. He's pulling that donkey all the way to Bethlehem going, oh God, don't let this thing fall apart on me. Terry, you ever thought like that? God, don't let this thing fall apart. Don't let this thing mess up. God. Did God tell you to do it? Did God tell you to do it? It ain't going to fall apart. Just keep pulling. Just keep walking. Just keep leading. Some of you dads in here, just keep following God. Some of you mothers, go anyway. Love Him anyway. Trust Him anyway. I can just see Him. I can't believe we're out here. I can't believe we're doing this. Oh, man. And Jesus sent us out. I got to be birthed in Bethlehem because my Father said so. God, listen, God's got a plan. And you can't mess it up. But it does work better when you're obedient to it. Amen? I love it. How they get all the way up to Bethlehem. And guess what? Oh, yeah, I forgot one person. Who else is at the party? God at the party. I don't know if you kind of like this kind of stuff, but I kind of get weird. God, man, He's going to make a grand entrance on the scene of the America, a scene of the world, sorry, a scene of the world. God's going to step out of eternity. He's going to step out of eternity on the world stage. And He does it as a... What are you thinking, God? As something can't even take care of itself, much less the problems of the whole world. He comes, he can't feed himself, can't hardly see, he can't grab and hold stuff, he can't walk, he can't speak. But everybody that sees him goes, that's God laying there. Could you imagine Mary and Joseph after he's laying in the manger? It's God. And every once in a while, people, man, because I know we don't ever do this. Do you really believe he's gone? Oh, come on. Do you really, man, this is crazy. I mean, we're out here in the manger. This is crazy. And then all of a sudden a bunch of shepherds show up. Stinky old shepherds. Stinky shepherds. No, back then, they didn't take showers every night. And shepherds, you know what they did? They spent time with sheep. They smelled like sheep. Stinking sheep. And they got invited to the party. Why are y'all here? Angel said, God's here. We wanted to come worship him. A little while longer, here comes the Magi. What are y'all here for? Hey, he's pointing a spotlight to the universe, and it's right here. It's God here, we come to see him. Amen? God, it's like the best episode of Undercover Boss that you've ever seen. God showed up as the manager of... Oh, God, y'all don't know this. All right, listen, he's got mansions. Y'all believe that? I've gone to prepare a place for you. And where I go, you there will be also. Amen? Many mansions, many rooms. No, come on! Many mansions, many rooms. Okay, listen, I'll tell you how Undercover Boss kind of works. Okay, the Undercover Boss is the guy who owns the whole company. Right? Got it? Okay, and he goes, he owns the whole company. And what he does is he usually puts him on a mustache, or does something different with his hair, does it look totally different, and he goes into the place, one of, hallelujah, Rick, nobody listen. He shows up at one of the many places that he owns and runs and operates. And he pretends to be just some lowly worker, just trying to figure out what's going on down in the scene. And some people are so dumb, because they start saying real dumb stuff and doing real dumb stuff. And event, sometimes, Jesus didn't, but they had to remove the disguise and say, you're acting a fool. All right? But listen to this. Guess what? That's how we are sometimes. Because God shows up, and see, He created us. He created all the rooms. See, that when they went to the door, knocked on the door, see, God is the God of many mansions in heaven. And He came to a hotel, to an inn, knocked on the door, said, sorry, we got a room. We got a room for you. You got a room for me? Got a room for the baby? I got no room for you. Nothing? No, you know who we're carrying, right? Your door's closed. But He is the door to heaven. He's the one who will check you in to the greatest room you'll ever walk into your life. And you're telling me that you don't have a room for Him just for a period of time. We don't have a room. I'm sorry. No vacancy. No vacancy for Jesus. We've got important people in here and a whole lot of things. We got important people. And important things in here. Listen, I don't know if you do this a lot, but I like hotel rooms. I do. I love them. I know I don't like to stay going all the time, but there's nothing better than a good hotel room sometimes. Clean sheets, clean towels, clean washcloths. Lots of soap. Free soap. Sorry, I said that out loud. Listen, and if you do it right, you can get up in the morning, go eat breakfast, do some stuff, eat lunch, come back. Somebody cleans it up for you. It's awesome, right? Guess what? I started thinking about hotels. And I started thinking about how God, when He comes to us, and I was thinking the hotel person should have said, wait a minute. Because most hotels, they've got a room for a janitor. Can't we put him in the janitor's room? Couldn't we put him in the janitor's room? I think sometimes that some of us have Jesus in the janitor room of our life. Amen? It's where all the other junk is. Amen? And I started thinking, well, maybe, why didn't they just put him in the office? I mean, he could be in the office, just rearrange some stuff. And I started thinking, well, wait a minute, couldn't he be in like one of the meeting rooms, one meeting room for meetings? Couldn't they do something like that? Maybe if they just got a rollaway bed. Lord, help the rollaway beds, right? Kids don't mind it, but parents, oh, I ain't sleeping on that rollaway bed. I ain't sleeping on that thing. But couldn't they get a rollaway bed and put it in a hallway? I wonder sometimes if we got God, He's not in one of the main rooms in our lives. He's just in a hallway, in a rollaway bed, and He's just there just for a temporary time. And I started thinking, well, maybe just a single? I'm preaching just a single room with a single bed? Many people, no room. How about a queen? Huh? Double queen? Now we're talking, right? Double queen? King? Honeymoon suite. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the manager knocking on the door? I'm sorry, the honeymoon suite is now vacated. God's here. I'm about to preach. I don't even know. I'm about to spring into action right here. I am not going to let God come up in my honeymoon suite and ruin my marriage night. Yeah, that's probably what's wrong with your marriage anyway. Because you wouldn't let God in it. Can you not just stay in your room? There's plenty of space. You don't have to move out. Listen, you don't have to move out. Just let Him move in. Just let Him stay for a little. You got plenty of room in the marriage. How about the penthouse? Huh? I'm not talking about the janitor's room anymore. I'm sorry, sir. I know you're an important man. And I know that you're a very important person. But we have God out here in a manger. I was wondering if you could just let Him come in and stay with you. Or if you could move out, maybe you go to the manger and let God move in the penthouse suite. I don't got time for this. I can't even believe you bothered me. I don't believe. This is insane. I'm going to tell everybody about this place. I'm going to write a bad review on your website. And I started thinking, wait a minute, why didn't they just go to the top and get the presidential suite? The presidential suite, you know, the only important people. It's so cute. It's big as the whole top level. Why didn't they let Him in there? And I started really getting radical. What the manager should have done is he should have called the owner of the inn and said, I'm sorry, sir, but we need to sign the title and the deed over to God. He just showed up. And I can't let Him go. I'm going to sign over the title and deed to the hotel. I'm evacuating. Golly bump. I'm evacuating everybody. I'm sending everybody out. I'm letting God have this whole place. He can sleep in every room. He can go to the janitor's room, the meeting room, the office. The one bedroom, the two bedroom, the king bedroom. He can go to the penthouse. He can go to the presidential suite. He can do whatever he wants. It's His! Some of y'all are sitting here going, man, you're radical, Kevin. That's crazy. That's crazy. Some of y'all are sitting here thinking right now. You're sitting here thinking, Kevin, you're preaching about a hotel back in that day. I am not. I'm preaching about your life. I'm preaching about your lives. God don't want a compartment in your brain. He don't want to be just staying in one compartment of your life. He wants it all. He wants your whole life. He don't want a temporary situation. He don't want a roll-in bed and a roll-out bed. He don't want a small room or a big room. What He wants you to do is sign over the title and deed to your dwelling place. He made you. He designed you. He's in control of your life. But ultimately, He wants your life. He wants your eternity. Sign over title and deed. Because guess what? I don't know if I've told you this or not. But in that show undercover boss, at the end of it, every place he went to, and every person he met, I'm preaching! Every person he went to and every place he went, guess what? At the end of the show, they all come to him. And he's revealed. And he said, I was the boss the whole time. And for the ones who did right, he rewarded them. And for the ones who did wrong, he rejected them. One day, that one that was a baby, at the end of this life, you're going to be standing in front of him in the form of Jesus Christ. And he said, I came to you time and time and time again, and I knocked on your heart's door. I tried to get in, and you tried to keep either telling me I couldn't come in, or you only gave me the space that you wanted me to have in your life. When will you understand that the one who created you, the one who made you, the one who designed you, one day you will stand directly in front of him. And I will tell you one thing. You will never regret what you've given to him and what you've honored to him. But you will regret the times you said, you could only have certain spaces in my life, certain times in my life, or Lord help us, you can't come in. You can't come in. Because when you say you can't come in, one day he'll turn around and say, you can't come in. You wouldn't let me come in to your short life. Your life is a vapor. So I won't let you enter into my eternal life. You wouldn't give me room. I won't give you a mansion. Let's all stand as I come get a song of invitation. If God's dealt with your heart,